Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
We should yearn for home. We should be looking forward to that glorious city that has foundations.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Ben Sass.
And we should also cease our labors, not just every Sunday, but every evening, and break bread with our families. But we should know that you don't build your dream house on a bridge. And we're on a bridge. We're not there yet. And the opportunity time of uncertainty to rely on the Lord, it's a blessing. We don't know the outcome A versus B on a whole bunch of choices. And is my clinical trial going to last a few extra months? We're all going to die. We're all going to be pushing up daisies. But then we're going to get a glorified body, and we're going to be at that adoration feast again. And it is going to make the sufferings of this present age seem too infinitesimally small to even try to recall.
More from Senator Sass at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
We're here to help.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Junior! You know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SloCountyHearingAids.com.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. John and William never liked each other. Even though they were brothers, they didn't like each other. And considering how very little they seemed to have in common, it was probably not wise for them to live next door to each other, but they did. And predictably too close for comfort. They fought and they fought, and eventually within 20 months of each other they died. Their sons Jack and Willie inherited the next door neighboring houses. Now, cousins Jack and Willie were even more contemptuous of each other than their fathers had been, to the point that neither could imagine living side by side unless it were absolutely necessary, which it certainly was not. So Willie told Jack, "Don't bother moving, I'm tearing Dad's house down." In the first instant, upon hearing this, Jack was quite pleased, but in the next he grew suspicious. "Why are you demolishing your father's place?" Jack asked. Willie grinned that evil grin that his cousin had known and hated since childhood. "Because I'm building a bigger one," Willie said, and he turned and was gone. Well, sure enough, a few weeks later, to Jack's utter amazement, a demolition crew showed up at the house next door, began taking it apart, piece by piece, and that did it. Jack was scarcely going to remain here, literally living in the shadow of his brother's resplendent new dwelling, so he decided that he would leave, he'd live elsewhere. But after he had moved, he would also tear down the home he had inherited, and on that spot where it had stood, right next door to Cousin Willie, Jack would build a horse stable. And he might have. Except upon learning of Jack's outrageous intention and realizing the irreparable harm which would be inflicted on what was left of the family, a longtime friend and advisor, Abner Bartlett, came to see him. And Abner said, listen, Jack, all of your life you've been competing with Willie. He married a pretty woman, you married a prettier one. He wrote a novel with a historical setting, you wrote a novel about the future. You've been winning this lifelong competition so far, Abner Bartlett reminded Jack. Why start losing it now? Well, Jack, suddenly furious, demanded Abner explain himself. Go ahead and dismantle your own house, Abner suggested. But instead of a stable, build a dwelling even larger and more wonderful than Willie's. Well, Jack smiled, and an American institution was born. Because, you see, Jack did not merely build a bigger, more impressive edifice than his cousins. He got Willie's permission to connect the two, to link them together, with a solitary indoor corridor. A provision was made in the agreement that should either become sufficiently angry with the other, the corridor could be sealed. And in thus joining the two buildings, Jack's being four stories higher than Willie's, the formerly feuding cousins were also united in a most profitable business venture, the creation of the nation's grandest ever anywhere hotel. For once upon a family divided, more than 100 years ago, there were two New Yorkers, William Waldorf Astor and John Jacob Astor the IV, who managed to resolve their differences in a uniquely elegant and opulent way. For what might have become an ordinary 13-story hotel next to a big smelly stable, instead became, because of Abner Bartlett's brainstorm, the world's most fabulous, most famous architectural hyphen, the Waldorf Astoria. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. We're talking about a story we put up yesterday, plan to extend boundaries of Port San Luis Harbor District rejected. The board voted unanimously against doing it, even though the director of the LAFCO wanted it to go through, and San Luis Obispo County Supervisor and LAFCO Commissioner Don Ortiz Legg argued passionately when they knew they weren't going to win. It was a unanimous decision. And I have Sherry Hafer of Atascadero and very involved in the Fishermen's Association, and Julie Tacker, a well-known county activist, discussing it. Sherry, before we went to the break, you were talking about oil use offshore with wind energy. Can you tell us, first of all, does wind energy use a lot of oil, and what does it look like, and what are some of the environmental harms of having offshore wind?
So I think we are talking about Measure A and all the ordinances that don't allow oil infrastructure on land. That would be kind of what they call a blue wall to prevent oil drilling off our coast. Well, I was saying to Karen that that sort of applies to offshore wind, too. It should anyways, because there's a lot of similarities. For one thing, each turbine requires thousands of gallons of oil and hydroelectric fluid and all sorts of sulfur hexafluoride, all kinds of chemicals that are going to have to be stored somewhere near Port San Luis in these huge tanks. And because that's what they're going to do, they're going to have to do regular maintenance to change out these fluids. And so it seems like they're the ordinances for oil and allowing oil storage would, you know, fall in the same category. And, you know, they're also going to require these 300-foot service and operation vessels to come in out of Port St. Louis. Those are big. They're huge, and they'll be at least probably one or two for each wind lease, and there's three. So that's six huge ships coming in and out of Port St. Louis. They'll be transferring fluids. There'll be cranes. They'll be trying to change parts. And from our understanding of a floating offshore wind port is that they're going to tow these 1,000-foot turbines around, and that at least 10% of them need repairs every year. So with 300 turbines out there, that'd be 30 turbines possibly being floated, 1,000-foot turbines being floated in and out of Port St. Louis. That might obstruct the view a bit.
A bit. She says a bit. She mentioned also the cranes and the big infrastructure. Something that I want people to also consider is the lights. We see lights on the pier now, but when you have to light up this industrial port, it will illuminate Port St. Louis Port Hueneme. You know, it's going to be a significant impact on tourism, real estate values all along the Shell Beach Coast, Pismo. You're going to see it, and it's going to impact you. The traffic impacts of large trucks hauling long, long wind blades, that kind of thing, down that little windy road that takes you out to the lovely Avila Beach. All of those things aren't maybe ringing in our ears yet. And the countywide, we need to come together to say that we don't want this off of our shore. And when, let me circle back to the LAFCO meeting, when a commissioner asked the port director, how much money do you need, considering that this sphere of influence may be expanded and that you would want to then tax us, how much money do you need? He said, tens of millions. Tens of millions? How many tens of millions? And, you know, that goes back to what, if they want to bring forward a sphere of influence study, it better have numbers in it, and it better identify what projects they want to pay for with it. And, but I think fundamentally, the word that was heard by LAFCO on Thursday was no, do not expand the sphere of influence. Maybe there's this opportunity that you heard may have been said last night that they want to bring it back. But my advice would be don't bring it back. You're going to get a big no from the community. And if they don't go city to city and advisory council to do the outreach that's necessary to expand this sphere of influence, then they're just going to get a no, and they should just go away with that whole idea.
What was interesting was that they were trying to say that they are going to need more finances, but actually their finances didn't look that bad.
Really?
The district net position increased by 45% over the five-year audit, reflecting solid long-term growth. That's a quote. The last 5 years, they have seen an almost 25% increase in their property taxes. They've run in the black the last 3 years.
So, Sherry, the question then becomes, if they need tens of millions of dollars, then they need to identify what it's for.
Right.
And if it is to support the industrialization, we as the voters, we as those who live outside of their district boundaries, we need to know what they're talking about. And my suspicion, based on this long conversation that's been going on about supporting wind energy, mm-hmm. is that it is your and my contribution to help support that offshore wind. And that would be through a tax measure. And this is their wiggle way in to getting to all of our pockets.
It's suspicious, for sure.
Yeah.
And I want to, Sherry, I'm going to switch gears right now. I had you on my show probably 2 or 3 years ago. One of the issues with this push to do offshore wind energy is it would really impact fishing in our county. And it isn't the biggest industry, but it's an industry a lot of people would like to stay, continue, and they like having a fishing industry. I used to love to go down to Avila when they had more fishing and go to the store and buy that. I would go there to the fish market. Mm-hmm. But Sherry, your husband is a fisherman. You're involved in the Fisherman Association. Will you explain to our listeners, I know that you guys filed a lawsuit. Will you explain to the listeners first what the lawsuit was about and give us an update on what's going on now?
Okay, so before they get going on construction of the wind farm, they have to map out the whole area. It's in very deep water, 3,000 to 5,000 feet of water. All other, most other wind turbines are in like 300 feet of water. So when they do these surveys, they have to use these remote operating vessels, and they're only 40 feet off the bottom. But they're using the same mapping technology that they use from a surface vessel that send these very loud, over 200 decibel beams that penetrate over, I think it's 150 feet. And we're very concerned that it's impacting the whole bottom habitat, especially larvae and plankton and krill and the base of the food chain are very vulnerable to it. There's been evidence whenever they've done this kind of work before that it has changed things and changed the fishing. And in fact, they have already done this, you know, similar type of mapping. The USGS did it between Monterey and Point Conception, and it wasn't even as intense as what they're doing now. And it dramatically decreased our spot prawns that live on the bottom there. I know that for a fact because my husband fishes for them. Overnight, they were down by over 60% that from what he was normally catching. So we know it's impacting it. And some of the fishermen are saying now, after they've already done some of the surveys, two of the leases they've surveyed, that the fish have different food in their mouths. They're eating different things. It's just things have changed. So because actually where the leases are over what they call essential fish habitat. It's not just sand out there. It's over rocky reefs, old ancient coral reefs that are actually protected. And they should have been more careful with how they were doing it. And so our lawsuit is because the California Coastal Commission, as part of their requirements to allow BOEM to do to get the lease and to start site surveys, they had to have a 7C working group, we call it. A seventh condition was to develop best practice protocols before they start, monitoring, mitigation, and whatever. So that 7C working group was developed. It has wind developers, fishermen, state agents on it, and they were working on it and hadn't even finished. And the wind developers came out and started doing their site surveys. Mm. And so we felt that they jumped the gun and they did it without best protocols in place like they were supposed to. It's even also in a Senate Bill 286 that they have to have, data collection and monitoring and mitigation in place before they start. So we thought we had a pretty good case. but we took it to court in San Luis, and our judge, Judge Van Ruin, he denied it. He denied us stopping. We just wanted them to stop and wait for the 7C working group to finish. Mm-hmm. So he denied it. He said, well, this doesn't mean there's a moratorium on it, which I didn't know. It didn't make any sense. So we appealed it. We went to the second appellate court in Ventura. Well, it was all set, ready to go to oral argument last October. And it's just kind of suspicious, again, suspicious. Judge Van Ruin got moved up to the Ventura Second Appeal Court, August through November. It was very bizarre.
And he was temporary.
He didn't hear it. He didn't hear it. But you know, it's a very small court. There's only like four judges there. They're all kind of family. So I don't know. It was kind of weird. So it didn't get heard. It got just some. It got put on stall for some motions, kind of random motions, and I don't know. It still hasn't been heard.
I will tell you, as someone that has gone through a number of court cases, this is common. The stalls, I'd say more of them don't happen when they should. And they were actually, I thought Van Ruin was actually going to move to the appellate court, but he's not. He's back. So I think, do they have a new date set?
No, we have no date set or anything.
They will set a date.
Actually, our attorney is actually thinking about asking to see if we can get it moved to a different court in L.A.
Probably sounds good. A wise move.
And sometimes that's the best thing when you have these things happening. Very interesting. We have a text message. If you want to call in or text, it's 238-5775. We're going to take a word, a break from our sponsors, and then I'll read the text that we have received.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher and oil prices pulling back on cautious hopes that the conflict in the Middle East may be getting closer to a resolution. U.S. oil falling to around $91 a barrel for a two-week low, while Brent crude, the international benchmark, has dropped to around $98. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were higher, with tech the best performer, while energy lagged. The Magnificent 7 big cap tech stocks were mostly higher, led by NVIDIA and Amazon. Semiconductor stocks rose as ARM Holdings unveiled a new AI chip. ARM shares rose over 16%. Travel stocks like airlines and cruise operators rose on easing fuel prices. The Dow winners, Merck, Sherwin-Williams, and Amazon. The Dow decliners, Verizon, Nike, and Chevron. The Dow up 305 points. The Nasdaq higher by 168. S&P 500 up 36. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Why does Progressive love protecting truckers? Because truckers unite the world. Truckers unite candles and yoga instructors. Truckers unite fake plants with people who shouldn't own living plants. Truckers unite French press coffee makers with the most pretentious person you know. But truckers can't do any of this if they're not on the road. That's why Progressive now offers truckers even more protection on cargo with its enhanced Cargo Plus coverage. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms, limits, and conditions. Not available in California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I am Central Coast Attorney Dave Derringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal,
that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me. If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Duringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105. Or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Tomorrow I'm going to have Vanessa Rosso. She is running for clerk recorder. I will have two of the candidates on the show over the next few weeks to talk about why they're running and what changes they want to do. You can call in or text on the same line. It's 238-5775. We do have a text. It says, don't expand until no one, and then in parentheses, until no one is looking, which...
So he must be referring to the sphere of influence, and he, she, whoever that is. That actually happens often, where neighborhoods or agencies will try to pass a 218, your water bill is going to go up. The community rallies, they sign petitions, they send the letters that say, no, don't raise the rate, and it'll stop it. But then the agency has the ability to bring it right back. And they have 45 days and it comes back and people say, well, I already did that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So there are...
Under the rug.
Yeah. So when they're not looking, when we're not looking, they'll pass the tax.
I have missed a variety... The text message is new. I missed quite a few of these. So I'm going to go over...
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's all... We've been getting text messages. I was looking at the wrong box, and I do apologize. That was this morning, this one. Okay. One of them doesn't have anything in it. Sorry about this. I'm new to this. Everyone wants to claim they are my authority. They need to see the beginning of Mighty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh no! I'm gonna have to rewatch that to try to get that reference.
And one says, "If we could accurately follow the money, would that explain a lot?"
Most likely, without knowing all the details.
What I notice is these things are. Let's get into the money. What I notice is these things are very often grant money and consultants. All these people make money. I'm going to ask, Sherry, can you talk a little bit about the CEC grant and how much money have they already spent, even though nothing has yet been done?
So we passed Proposition 4, and they're saying under clean air, portion of that proposition, that they are going to prepare our ports for offshore wind. And last year, they doled out $42 million, I believe it was, to different ports to get started in designing and, getting ready to do their ports. So Long Beach got like $20 million and Humboldt got 15, 16 million. Our little San Luis got 3 million. And I don't know how much Oakland got. Those are the ones.
So there's significant taxpayer money that's already been spent. What I have noticed as government over the last 20 years, more and more money is going to consultants. And very often I've seen where they do a study and then it's 3 years later, well, that study's now a little bit old. Let's do it again. And we're talking... millions of dollars for these things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they never build, but there are people that get wealthy as consultants, and it's all spent It's all taxpayer dollars.
Yes. Yeah, you know, actually, in their NREL report that was trying to give us an idea how much they were going to have to spend to get the ports ready, it was going to be more like $40 billion they needed in total. You know, because California coastline is not good for offshore wind. It doesn't have these long inlets with flat level areas on each side like Europe has. So we're going to have to build these giant cement platforms, which aren't good for the environment either, mm-hmm. in Long Beach and Humboldt to make it work. And they may have to build one in Port San Luis to be real. That was the initial Mott MacDonald design showed a giant cement platform because they need somewhere to put all this, the stuff they need to make repairs.
And we have another text message. What I don't get is they shut down the crab fishing season because of their lines. These things are going to have huge lines anchoring them. Anybody that is for this should have to spend a day out in the ocean on a platform during a winter storm so they can see what a ridiculous idea this is.
It is nuts. It is nuts. The mooring lines are going to have to be, like, I think it's like 6 miles long or something ridiculous, because you have to allow for scope, which is when the waves go up, you have to have room for that. And then when the waves go down, there's what's going to happen is the extra chain will scour the bottom. Sure. Yeah.
We have another message.
And the other thing about it is the high voltage cables between the turbines will not be buried. It'll be draping between because they're floating, they're moving, the cables have to be flexible so they won't be buried. They'll be connecting 10 turbines together with draping cables. Mm-hmm. And then those cables will go to a substation that converts that AC power to DC power. And then the big DC high volt cables will be buried to shore.
And isn't it accurate that this will be the first of this type? They've done some test sites where they'll have like four of them, the draping cables and the floating, because it's so deep and choppy. But this is non-proven technology.
Totally. There's only 25 wind turbines in the entire world. None of them this deep. Hmm. And all of them have needed major repairs after a few years, 5 years.
And that'll make the electric more expensive. Julie, you answer this one. Where are all the environmentalists in all this?
Well, that's actually probably Sherry could answer better, because the people you think would be opposing it, Surf Rider and Sierra Club, are supportive.
And Audubon Society, that's the one that kills
Audubon.
Me.
Wow. It doesn't make sense. And then that kind of goes back to the question that was asked about following the money. I don't know where the money may or may not be going to those environmental groups, but surely it goes against their mission. The impacts go against all of their mission. So something, and maybe you know, mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, wind turbines have killed a lot of birds, and they will kill marine seabirds for sure. The outer tips are going over 60 miles an hour. Mm. They're going to get sucked into that vortex and they'll get killed. And a lot of them they've done studies, and the pelicans and shearwaters and different birds that soar will be the most vulnerable, the albatross. And so the Audubon Society, you'd think, would have a problem with it.
Yes.
But they have brainwashed their people so much to, you know, think that this is going to help climate change and it's going to, you know, save the world, that they think it's worth it, that the death is worth it. Mm. And
there are some also, I spoke to someone in our county who's an environmentalist 2 days ago, and they said, you know, I just want wind energy so bad, I think we need it. And then I said, you know, you can do it onshore, and when they're in these deep waters, there's so much repairs. You know, they thought they would last 7 years. Now they're saying maybe 3 or 4 years before needing major repairs. And they said, you know, I do support wind energy, but we need to have it onshore where it's, think about it. You want it in the salt water where it's getting bounced around. Think about homes on the ocean. Or do you want it in an area where it's not getting bounced around and you don't have salt water damaging it? Yeah. So those are some of the issues.
Well, and Sherry's talking about the Audubon and the birds. When you talked about the draping of chain and the question about crab and entanglement, it just rings out to me. And just a few years ago now, of course, 2012 and again 2000-ish, the whales came into the Port San Luis. And they did their dance and their show for days and days and weeks, in fact. And the public came and the tourism came, and it was beautiful. But it energized all of the agencies, mm-hmm. including Surfrider, Sierra Club. I'm sure Audubon enjoyed it too. But that Joe Citizen said, oh, that is neat. Mm-hmm. And that is neat, and it is still neat, and it happens periodically where the humpbacks come in there.
It's usually around September, October, November.
Right.
I go to see Venture because you're there on the ocean.
Beautiful.
The restaurant looks right over the where the whales, and literally mm-hmm. you're sitting there eating dinner watching whales. Mm-hmm. I used to go to Hawaii for that, and we have it locally.
Yeah, well, my husband says it's a whale highway.
It is a whale highway. Absolutely.
Tons of them.
But when we talked earlier, and I wanted to circle back and touch on the impacts of industrialization, not only you're going to clutter up where they swim, where these mammals are swimming, but then again, the light and the noise. And these creatures navigate through sound. So when you have these mapping technologies on the ground, on the seafloor, you're interrupting nature. You're interrupting the path of that highway and the food chain for the highway. And it's just, mm-hmm. you know, each one of us has to look at ourselves and just say, without the ocean, we don't have a world.
Absolutely. I want to change topics very quickly because we're lower on time.
Yeah.
Julie, you wrote an opinion piece, which is on the Cal Coast News, regarding the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority. If you don't know what that is, it's an agency that was created in the 90s to make sure all the trash companies followed their mandates. There were some new mandates. It was a little difficult. That's all been changed, and now they just they become a large, it was with the county, then it wasn't with the county, and it just skyrocketed in the amount of money to run it. Julie's been watching it closely. Can you tell us what you wrote about today?
At their last meeting, the Integrated Waste Management Authority, it's a joint powers authority with, with a 9-member board. They have been struggling with their audit. They've had some investigations. A few years ago, you'll recall, the district attorney's office investigated. Someone was arrested for embezzlement. They don't seem to be getting better. They're not getting better. And so in an effort to get better, they have gone out for bids for an accounting firm. They really just needed a bookkeeper. They'd had a bookkeeper. They were paying a low amount of money, more than I would have paid, honestly, because they're such a small agency. They were paying $2,000 a month for the last 2 years. And they did have a bad audit recently, and the practices, the best management practices for accounting haven't been followed. The controls that we are looking for haven't been followed. And so they went out to bid. They got six proposals, and normally when I see agencies go out for proposals, they try to get the lowest bid and they didn't take it. They took a bid that's $120,000 a year or $10,000 a month.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with the last segment. So if you want to ask a question, get it in at the next call.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
State Fair in Paso Robles is proud to present Freedioke Revival. July 23rd, the California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles. With special guest William Clark Green. Get tickets Friday, March 27, 10 a.m. at midstatefair.com and ticketmaster.com. Freedioke Revival. Freedioke Revival.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Sherry Hafer. She's from Atascadero. She's in the REACT Alliance, which is fighting against offshore wind energy and battery storage in the area. And Julie Tacker, a well-known activist. We're talking about a number of things. We have several new callers. Let me give you what they have to say, or text messages. And let me take the caller first. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Julie or Sherry or just bring to the conversation?
I'm a big fan of Michael Aaron Woody. Do they see him like I do as a solution to some of these, stuff going on? It'll break the ball and... How much do you love him like I love him?
Yes, we love Aaron Woody. Yeah, I... We're React is a 501c, and we're not supposed to endorse anybody. So I'm just speaking. That's okay. But just speaking for myself personally, I've heard him speak. He came actually to our React meeting, and I'm on board with everything he's saying. He's on the same page as I am.
Thank you.
And as far as I'm concerned, Michael would be a great addition to the County Board of Supervisors. This particular issue, really any issue on the Board of Supervisors, you're one vote. So when you are looking at the voting season and you see the different candidates running from the different areas, you not only need to support Michael if that's your choice, but you need to look at the other candidates that are running and have your friends in the other parts of the county voting on the issues that are important to you. So it's like, I have been on a board, I have been a lone voice, and when you're 4-1 or 2-3, it's a lonely place to be, and you feel like you let down your voters. So not but only supporting Michael on this issue, you need to look at the other candidates that are running.
And this is an absolute board majority election right now. This will, right now we have a 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans. If Michael's declined a state, but this is, and the race, the other race is Verdin against Jimmy Paulding. This is control over the Board of Supervisors is at stake right now.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Okay, we have, I know Congressman Panetta and Carbell are against offshore oil, but I haven't heard any objection from them about offshore wind. Do you know their position?
Carbell is a big supporter from the very beginning. In fact, you know, when this first came out and they're deciding where to site it, they had to go in front of the Department of Defense. And they put out a report saying, absolutely not. This area is part of Point Magoo, I think it's called. They put out a color map of everywhere in red was absolute no for offshore wind, and it was this whole area. They're doing all kinds of missile defense maneuvers, submarine, all kinds of things are going on out there. We don't know. And they did not want it. And so Carbajal was on the budget committee at the time for the Department of Defense. And he put out an amendment saying that they had to come up with some kind of solution allowing offshore wind off our coast, or he was going to deny some of their funding. And that's what happened. They came up with something. They gave them that 400 miles up there, and what they said was, okay, we'll give it to you, but you have to shut down 600 hours per year to allow for training.
And what about Jimmy Panetta?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jimmy Panetta holds the party line, which is to be okay, but he's not an avid, like he doesn't come out as strong as Carbajal has.
Wow.
And we have another text message. The chemistry of the world revolves around our oceans. If climate change is real, how does causing more deaths and erosion to our marine ecosystem create a benefit? This program is disastrous.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Agree.
And Julie, you were explaining a little bit about the issues. We're changing subjects to the IWMA. And that's our Integrated Waste Management Authority. So they could be spending up to $10,000 a month for an agency. I think it used to have 3 employees. It might be up to 5 now.
It's actually up to 7 because, and this is in my opinion piece, they talk about, you know, they're trying to fix what's wrong. And whatever is wrong, and there have been different things that are wrong with the bookkeeping. But so they are up to 7. This adding the consultant as a CPA firm out of Clovis, you know, is just another way to try to make it better. But at that price, and I wish some more local CPA firms had maybe bid, because this out of town firm's going to charge extra on top of the $10,000 a month to travel to board meetings, etc. So, it's, to me, it's just an extremely expensive throwing good money after bad kind of scenario, in that you've wasted a lot of money through mismanagement, and now you're going to throw this kind of money at trying to fix that mismanagement when there's something at the root. There's something else. And I wonder, the more I follow this agency, the more I wonder, when the county pulled out some years ago, it made me think that maybe everything should be in the county's control for this agency, because it's too small to not be fraught with the financial woes. There's thumbs on the scale, there's fingers in the pot, that kind of thing. There's investigations going on. It seems to me that if it was all brought back under the county's umbrella, many things would be less expensive. And they had run it in the past, as you mentioned, Karen.
What happened was Lynn Compton looked into it. She fought massively to have it taken out and moved back to the county. The county part did, but the agency continued. But the county pulled out, and there was a thought other agencies would pull out. And then Jimmy Paulding was elected, and he literally, at his first meeting, he said, well, one of the things is I want the county back in the IWMA. And again, they used to run by 3 employees. I am stunned that they now have 7.
Yeah, they do have 7, and they are, they have about a $4 million budget. But when the county pulled out, the IWMA was unclear of what the financial impact of that would be. So they actually raised their rates. What's on your trash bill? There's a line item for the IWMA. They raised rates. They collected so much more money than they needed that now they are in a spend down mode. And what's on your bill today is much less, like $1.30 every other month when your trash bill comes out. So it doesn't seem like it's a lot of money, but they are holding on to a lot of money. I think $7 million in their reserves right now. So when you add a firm like this, $120,000 this next budget year, they're going to have to eat away at that money faster. And that's where I'm looking in my opinion piece today. You'll see that I asked the question, if they're going to take the small tasks away, the bookkeeping tasks away from the current staff, at some point, those job descriptions are changing, but the duties of the agency, the mission of the agency, hasn't changed. Somebody's going to lose a job. And I wanted them to look internally to, and maybe even instead of this large CPA firm, perhaps hiring a part-time bookkeeper, somebody in the agency. And now it looks like they may have to just let somebody go, which is contrary to what they wanted to do.
And Julie, I think the entire county appreciates your work. And thank you very much for coming on the show today. And Sherry, Hafer, I want to thank you also. Is there anything you would like the community to do? We have to help keep an eye on this.
Yeah, go to reactalliance.org website and become a member. It's free, and you'll get newsletters regularly of what's going on and what you can do to help.
Thank you both very much for coming on the show. And again, tomorrow, I have Vanessa Rizzo, a candidate for Slo County Clerk Recorder.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.